It's Wednesday, June 17th, 2015. This is the Wet Shaving News Podcast. You're listening to the Wet Shaving News Podcast. My name's Andrew. I'll be your host for today. Today, I'm going to start the podcast off with a story that actually broke on Monday the 15th. So this story is already old. This story was published as a mini-cast on a standalone platform, but for those of you who may have missed it, or for those of you who may not have heard it, I'm going to insert it now. It's a conversation with Mark from Sharpologist about the future of the Wet Shaving News Podcast. Good morning, you're on the Wet Shaving News Podcast. My name is Andrew, I'm your host. I have a very special guest with me here today. If you've been following the Twitter feed over the last couple of days, you'll see that I was kind of alluding to a big announcement, one that I'm very excited for, and I have a very special friend here I'd like to introduce you to. Some of you know him as Mantic59, some of you know him as the Sharpologist. His name is actually Mark, and Mark, good morning, welcome to the show.
Good morning, thank you for having me, Andrew.
Can you explain to our listeners, if they've never heard of Sharpologist, what is Sharpologist?
Sure, I like to call Sharpologist what your father didn't teach you about shaving, and to a certain extent, grooming in general. I think of it as a resource for those who are either learning kind of the beginner or intermediate stages of traditional wet shaving and men's grooming as well. And I put it together as a way of kind of bringing a bunch of different things together and using that platform as a learning resource and a place for people to go and find what they need in a efficient way where they can learn something quickly and correctly and then enjoy themselves from there.
And you know, when I personally started wet shaving not too long ago, I actually went to the Sharpologist website. I watched all of your videos. You have a lot of videos that are very instructional and very helpful on YouTube. And to anybody out there who's just now starting this journey or knows somebody who is just now starting this journey, Sharpologist is where you want to go because Mark's content is fantastic. And Mark, how long have you been doing this? How long has Sharpologist been alive?
Sharpologist has been up and running in its current form since 2011. I did have a little Blogspot blog before that. That was more like a production blog for the videos you mentioned. But one of the video viewers, one of my converts, if you will, also happened to run a large digital media business and suggested that a regular website would be a good complement to the videos. So if I could make a quick little plug for onmilwaukee.com, they're the guys who got me going and up and running. And since then, it's kind of taken off, and it's actually my full-time job now, running sharpologist.com. And as part of that here, I'm also getting back into videos and will be producing quite a few more here in a very short time.
That's right. I heard you you recently retired, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Congratulations. Yes, that's correct. I've retired, took early retirement from my 9-to-5 desk job and decided to concentrate on wet shaving and Sharpologist and my videos full time.
Well, congratulations on the retirement. That's a huge milestone. Congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I recommend it to everyone.
Well, I'm still 24. I don't think I can retire this early, but I look forward to the sunset down the road.
There you go.
A couple days ago, I sent out a mini cast and you were pretty quick to reply to me. I was asking for crowdfunding support to help get the Wet Shaving News Podcast up and running. And you gave me a couple of tips and insights, and we talked a little bit. And Mark, can you tell the audience what it is that we're doing with the Wet Shaving News Podcast?
Sure. Basically, you are filling a need I was already thinking about, but just frankly didn't have the time for, in that I was looking for a relatively brief, you know, not an hour-long kind of thing, but a relatively brief podcast going into the business of wet shaving, you know, talking to the artisans, talking to the vendors, even talking to some of the major manufacturers about wet shaving and men's grooming and things related to that. And I was trying to figure out a way of doing that when, by sheer coincidence, I ran into your first podcast. And I thought to myself, wow, this is exactly what I was looking for Sharpologist. And Sharpologist, by coincidence, runs on a platform that has native podcast functionality. So rather than having to use Podbeans or iTunes or any of the other podcasting networks that you may have to, you know, get funded for and worry about access and hosting, well, this is built into the platform that Sharpologist is on. So I thought I would offer the Sharpologist hosting to you and let you do your thing without any kind of real I guess I should say it is a sponsorship, but I'm letting you do your thing without getting in the way, if you will. And that's how the whole thing got started.
And I want to touch on that, because in the minicast, a lot of people may have heard me say I didn't want to have a sponsor. I want to clarify that. I don't want to have a sponsor who produces or sells or transacts in any way with any kind of product, because I don't want anything that I say to have to be influenced by somebody who is in the interest or business of making a product. And the Sharpologist website does have links to products, but they don't directly sell them themselves. If I'm correct, Mark, I don't think you sell anything.
That is correct. Yes.
So that is a big plus for me. So Mark has offered to host the Wet Shaving News podcast through Sharpologist, and that is exactly what we're going to do. It's a huge announcement, and it's a great amount of support. And Mark, I can't thank you enough for that.
Oh, my pleasure. Like I said, you're filling a need that I had been wanting to do, but just frankly didn't have the time. So I say go for it and let Sharpologist do the technical backroom stuff for you, and you rock and roll with your content.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for all of your support, and I look forward to this partnership lasting for a very long time. These podcasts are going to be pretty regular if I have my way with them. I'm looking every 2 weeks, so twice a month is my goal to have a podcast out with more information. And if you're looking for any more information on this podcast, or if you're looking for any more information about the partnership, or if you're looking for any information in general about wet shaving or wet shaving news, Mark's website, Sharpologist.com, has plenty of reviews, has plenty of information, has plenty of links and pages. It's a really interesting site. And it's not just about wet shaving, as Mark said. It's all about men's grooming. So make sure you check out Sharpologist.com. Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Good luck.
So the future of the Wet Shaving News podcast is thanks to the generous support of Mark at Sharpologist, and that is exciting news for us. As of today, this show is hosted by Sharpologist. We've got lots in store for you, including an interview with Rod from Sterling. So let's get to it. We'll start today's episode with the best news we could find from the industry. There's been a lot of news since the last episode that I wanted to cover, so I'm going to try and make each section as brief as possible, but still get as much information in there about the topic as possible. On the 4th, it came to light that the Persona plants that Energizer operates might be scheduled to close. In an SEC filing last month, Energizer filed reports that it seeks to reorganize its management, and that would involve the selling or closing of Persona plants. There are four that are mentioned. It doesn't mention the plants in Israel, but as far as we are able to tell, it looks like they are planning on closing the plant in Verona, Pennsylvania, which is the last plant to make safety razor blades in the U.S. that I am aware of. So if you're looking for Persona Lab Blues or Med Preps, stock up now. It's not guaranteed the plant will close. If they can find a buyer, it's possible that the plant could stay open for a very long time. But that's contingent upon Energizer finding a buyer by September 2016. Dapper Dragons announced on the 9th that it plans to discontinue the cinnamon bun and pomegranate scents of soap that they produced. They also mentioned that green tea and bergamot might be retiring. So Dapper Dragon soaps discontinuing cinnamon bun and pomegranate, and green tea and bergamot might be leaving as well. On the 10th, it came out that Colonel Conk, the budget value brand that typically was known for selling super cheap glycerin soaps, is getting an upgrade. Their new line includes updated soap scents. I'm not sure about the soap recipe, but I know they have some new scents out there for this upgrade. And currently, the new soaps sell for $7 for a 2.25-ounce puck. For more information on the new Colonel Conk products, visit Sharpologist.com. Mark has written up a nice article about the product development and testing. Well, anyone who reads Mashable knows that the beard fad is dying. According to Mashable, at least in the fashion industry, more and more designers and corporations are looking to get away from unkept beards that were so well known for hipsters just a few years ago. The article cites and follows one particular model who has had nothing but trouble attempting to get a job with a beard. The model over time shaved his beard off little by little to help ease the transition of his fans into his new appearance. If you're an aviation fan and a wet shaver, there is now a razor for you. The Blackbird Safety Razor is currently up on Kickstarter, and if you're interested in it, what this safety razor is about or how it performs, Nick Shaves has his hands on a pre-production model and does a full demo shave in one of his videos. Nick Shaves is a YouTube video wet shaver, so go find his channel on YouTube. Simply type in Nick Shaves, two different words, and it'll bring you straight to the video. The traditional shaving evangelist has let loose that there will be a New Orleans meetup December 21st, so watch his videos and channels if you have a want to go to New Orleans. I'm sitting here thinking about all the great etouffees and crayons that I love to eat, and how much I would love to go to New Orleans. So if you are in the area, or if you would like to make the trip to New Orleans, December 21st, there will be a meetup in New Orleans for wet shavers. Follow the traditional shaving evangelist for more information. Launched in the December of 2013 and on temporary leave from July 2014 to June 2014, Wet Shave Obsession is coming back. Wet Shave Obsession features pre-shave oil, shaving soap, aftershaves, razor care products, and restored vintage razors and brushes. They make a distilled tallow-based glycerin in their soaps, and all oils in the soaps are filtered to a sterile state before they manufacture. And they also use all organic and all natural ingredients. For more information on Wet Shave Obsession, visit wetshaveobsession.com. They have a couple scents currently up, and he is coming back online. Jim, the proprietor of Wet Shave Obsession, is looking to bring more scents into that as he comes back online. And now it's time for the news you've all been waiting for. New products. I'm going to try something new this time, and rather than just grouping together new releases by vendor, I'm going to attempt to do them by date. So in the date they were announced or will be released, whether they are already in production and have been released prior to this recording, or if they are coming out after this recording. So I'm going to try and do that a little differently. It's not to preference anybody in particular. I figured that way I don't have to worry about what vendor comes first. It's simply by date. Soap Commander, on the 2nd, released a new product that has not been seen in the wet shaving community before. It's actually a really innovative product that I'm very excited for. It is coffee. And by coffee, I don't mean a coffee-scented soap. Their son, Noah, is now brewing in-house actual coffee. Visit soapcommander.com for more information. On the 10th, Icon Razors debuted two new razors, the Icon Shavecraft Short Comb and the Icon Shavecraft Tech, both priced at $80. They're available at a couple of vendors as well as directly from Shavecraft. If you're looking for the Icon quality of stainless steel razor, they have a couple new options for you. Check them out. Also on the 10th, Dr. John's released Arctic Hydra. That's their Hydra scent with a kick of menthol. If you're a fan of the citrusy notes in Hydra, but you want some cooler feeling on your face when you're getting ready in the morning or in the evening, try Arctic Hydra. It's Dr. John's solution to a hot summer. The 21st is going to be a very busy day, at least for Dapper Dragons. They have several scents coming out on the 21st. This includes Festival, which is summer blooming flowers, summer fruit, and an intriguing base of smoke and gunpowder to evoke the feeling of summer festivals around the world. They also have Coconut, Lime, and Verbena, which is coconut and lime with a woodsy and citrusy undertone, cucumber melon, white orange chocolate. I'm not going to say this right, but it's Cilia, which is a maritime scent with Mediterranean influences. I believe this is actually on the table for them. I haven't seen an update as to whether this is a confirmed scent or not, but Cilia actually sounds interesting to me. I would love to try it. And Barrister and Man has announced that Sunrise is changing names from Sunrise to Solarion, and it will be released on the 21st of June. Also being released on the 21st of June, Soap Commander, the popular Take Charge people. I'm sorry, I'm still waking up for the day. Soap Commander is releasing Gusto Raspberry Lemonade. So if you want to kick back and relax with a glass of raspberry lemonade as you actually shave, you could have raspberry lemonade two ways, I guess. That actually sounds like a very refreshing scent to me. I don't know why. I live in Florida, and it's always hot, and lemonade's just great. It's cold, it's sweet, it's got a tart bitterness to it. So I'm intrigued by this. You're listening to the Wet Shaving News Podcast. My name's Andrew. I'm here with a special guest, Rod from Sterling Shave Soap. Good morning, Rod. How are you?
Very good, Andrew. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Many of us know about your company from, at least many of us have seen your About Us page, and we know that you and your wife, Mandy, went on a trip to Scotland, and you came back, and you were so inspired by that trip that you decided to open a soap company. Can you tell us what about Scotland kind of influenced you?
A lot of the way of life over there, we actually, of all the places I've ever traveled in my life, that was my favorite place I've ever been. But we were actually, when we decided we wanted to start making soap, we were on top of the Wallace Monument in Stirling. Obviously, that's where the name comes from. And just looking down on that, looking the way they had, you know, even in the middle of town, they had people with in their backyards had sheep there. And we initially started with the sheep soap. A few weeks after we got back from Scotland, we bought some mutton tallow and some lye and made our first few batches of soap. And from there, you know, we for the first year, we didn't actually start selling the soap immediately, but for the first year we were making, it was all bath soap. It wasn't until about a year after we started that we moved into the shave soap.
Gotcha. That answers my next question. So what came first, shaving soap or bath soap? And then what made you go from bath soap into shaving soap? What inspired that transition?
I've been wet shaving for a few years prior to us actually starting making our own soap, having to shave every day for the military, my neck would just get cut to pieces, and I had a real problem with razor bumps, and wet shaving really put an end to that for the most part. But without naming the companies that I was buying soap from, all brand name companies, no artisans, I just wasn't impressed with their soap. I thought, I could do something better than this. So that's where we kind of set out, and it took a while. We had quite a few failures. Our first three generations of soap were pretty much glorified bath soaps. And it wasn't until the fourth and fifth generations where we actually had a product that people were willing to pay money to use.
And are you, which generation are you currently on?
Technically, I guess we'd be on the seventh generation. It's the same formula we've been using since October of 2013. We've made some minor tweaks. We've cut out some suppliers in the interest of just kind of standardizing our base formula so that we're not, there's not as much variation between batches, but the base formula has been the same since October of 2013.
I recently read a post of yours about that where you said you were cutting out a couple of vendors because of consistency issues. Can you talk about a little bit about what issues you were seeing from those vendors?
Well, one of the main issues, and it's not an issue for some people, but for a lot of people, depending on their olfactory senses, it is. A lot of people pick up an underlying animal scent to our soaps. That's always going to be there. We have probably one of the highest percentages of tallow in our soaps on the market. It's the first ingredient there. We're not just your normal stearic coconut oil and lye base that a lot of soap companies have. Our first one is stearic. We use a lot of shea butter and we use a lot of lanolin. So all of those products have their own scent that they impart on the soap. We've switched to a more deodorized tallow. We've got a less, for lack of a better word, sheepy lanolin now. And we've started mixing in some refined shea butter with the unrefined to help tamper down the base scent of the ingredient so that it's not interfering so much with the scent that we're trying to put into the soaps. And the other thing that cutting down our suppliers does, if you're using, a different tallow or you're using a different company's castor oil or almond oil, they're all going to have, for the most part, some small variations, and we wanted everything to be standardized. So when somebody buys, say, a puck of Ozark Mountain, 6 months later they buy another puck of Ozark Mountain, it's going to be the same product.
Now, Rod, you specifically called out Ozark Mountain, which is one of my personal favorites of your scents. I have that, and I also have Margaritas in the Arctic. How do you come up with some of these scents? What kind of inspires you?
Some of it's just based on my own personal preferences. I grew up in the base of the Ozarks, so as a nod to that, I wanted to have a soap that reminded me of that smell. Some of them, like I would say Ben Franklin and Bonaparte, are scents that I was just simply working on doing experimenting a few years ago as I was learning essential oils and perfumery. And just those are two specifically that I hit on that I just liked. Mandy really liked them, and we decided to make them into soaps. As far as a lot of the other ones, some of it's just they come from customer requests or just from experimentation out in the shop.
You're also really well known for your Glacial soaps. They're perhaps the coldest on the market. What made you want to make such a cold soap?
That was another one that was by request. I believe I've got some emails that were actually, I think, eclipsed by a couple of other soaps at this point. But we had requests from I guess they self-proclaimed menthol heads asking for us to make an extremely cold soap. So what we did is we set out to put as much menthol into a soap as we can without having the soap and the scent break down. And there is a limit because anything anything that's not saponifiable, like glycerin or the menthol clay, things like that, they're not soaps, so they don't lather. They take away from the latherability of a soap. So if you have too much of anything, such as the menthol, the soap's going to break down. So what we ended up with the Glacial is a soap that has absolutely the most menthol that we can pack in there without it just being a terrible chore to lather and having the soap fall apart.
You mentioned clay specifically, and you are actually one of the relatively few in the well-known kind of circle between a lot of the major artisans, as I'll say. You're one of the few who actually uses clay in your base. What do you find that adds to the soap?
Oh, the clay itself is an emollient. Even in small amounts, as it's found in a soap, it has the ability to draw out different things from your skin, help with the. There are positive benefits to having the clay in your soap for your skin. I mean, that's evidenced by not just the amount of people that use it in spas, but I've got a lot of research on that. I use my student account at Oregon State to research a lot of the stuff behind this, and I've actually got quite a few research papers on the benefits of the different types of clay in terms of your skin. And it also, it's especially the bentonite clay, it adds a new level of slickness to the shaving soap. So it's just a matter of balancing it, though, because clays do impart their own smell in the soap, and that can sometimes interfere with some of the lighter scents that we have. And we have had customers that are more sensitive to the smell of clay, and they just absolutely don't like it. And however, though, we try to balance it as well as we can and make it to where, an average customer, it's not going to be an issue, and they're going to get the benefits of having the clay in the soap.
Gotcha. You've recently added plastic jars to your lineup. For the longest time, your pucks came wrapped in a biodegradable plastic. And here in the last couple of months, you've announced and added these really cool-looking custom green jars. I believe you have one on the way to me, but the post wasn't quick enough. Can you talk about these jars? What was the process of getting them, and what was the ultimate decision in deciding to go from the shaped and wrapped puck to a poured jar style of soap?
Just like in market forces, it was completely driven by customer request. We initially, when we started the company, we wanted everything to be as equal, eco-friendly as possible. I'm not an enviro-Nazi by any stretch of the imagination, but I do believe in trying to minimize waste as much as possible. And it also, having the Spartan packaging that we previously had, and we still keep the refill pucks, but having that helps keep costs down to the consumer, and that was big for us. So we held out with that as long as we can, but if we got to the point where the demand for us to have a more professional packaging was too great for us to ignore any longer. And honestly, from a personal standpoint, it was becoming not hurtful, but I was a little bit, I would say, bothered by the fact that a lot of people just assume that we put out a cheap or low quality product just simply because of our Spartan packaging and low prices. So we wanted to counter that by actually putting together something that actually looks really nice. So, I mean, that's what we've done, going with Parkway Plastics, I believe, out of New Jersey, to set up the custom jars for us. And we're having Phil Fehrenbacher Illustrations, as we have the funds available, we've got him on hire to redesign a lot of our labels and give them a more professional look.
Well, Rod, like I said, I know there's a jar on the way to me. I can't wait to take a look at that packaging. What was it that you sent? Just because I don't know if I've seen that in my email yet.
You've got a jar of iced pineapple heading your way.
Iced pineapple. Does that have one of the custom logos on it yet?
No, the only things we have right now with the custom logos, we have the margaritas in the Arctic, and the new Ozark Mountain custom label will be available on Friday the 12th. Today, we're putting it on the website as we speak. Mandy's back there getting that ready.
Well, I can't wait to see the new packaging. And for those listening, we're actually this was supposed to be a review so we could discuss the new packaging and I could have a jar in my hand as we talked about it. But as soon as this is published, Rod, on Wednesday, you know, we're doing a giveaway. This iced pineapple jar will be available for a giveaway to our listeners. So if you're listening to the podcast right now, clearly it's after Wednesday. I believe it's the 17th, Wednesday the 17th. It's after that. So go on to Twitter, and all you have to do is find the post in the Wet Shaving News Twitter feed, and then you have to include Sterling, so tag Sterling at Sterling Soap, and then include the hashtag WSN Sterling. That's WSN Sterling. That's the hashtag, and that enters you into the contest. Rod's giving us that jar. We're going to give it away.
I'm really sorry I didn't get that out to you sooner, so... Anyone listening, it's my fault that he's not holding it in hand right now.
Oh, it's not a problem. I'm just glad that I'm excited to be able to get number one iced pineapple. I can't eat pineapple because I'm allergic to it, but I'm excited to get a scent of this particular scent and specifically look at the jar because they're really bright, flamboyant green. That's kind of custom to Sterling, right?
Yes, I mean, that's what we went for. When we actually tried out about a half dozen suppliers, and I think what a lot of people don't understand about for the artisan shave market, our options are limited for packaging. So there's only so many companies that are going to produce things in the quantity small enough for say someone like Sterling or some of the other artisan companies. It just, you know, a lot of places won't turn their machines on for less than 100,000 units. And obviously we don't have the funding for anything like that. So we were able to test out five or six different, and Parkway really worked really hard to get us a custom color. And that was one thing we wanted going in. We wanted something that would make our packaging stand out. So as soon as you saw, you thought, ah, that's Sterling Soap right there. No question about it. You know, this isn't a, you know, there's no mistaking it for someone else's packaging. There's no, you know, worries about, you know, infringing on something that someone else is already doing. This is Sterling's color. Here it is. And we are really pleased with how it turned out.
You know, I could only imagine waking up in the morning, still kind of, you know, haven't had my coffee yet, stumbling through the shower, walking to the vanity, and then I have white jars, black jars, silver tins, and flamboyant green. I can only imagine which one I'm probably going to reach for first thing in the morning. So that's compliments on the color.
Thank you.
So, Rod, thank you for being on the show with us today and kind of going over the works of Sterling and giving us some insights to your company. I'm really excited that you were our first interviewee as part of the podcast. I hope we get to have you on again down the road as time goes on. Rod, can you tell the listeners, if they're looking to see what scents you have available or see this new packaging, what is your website?
Our website is www.sterlingsoap.com. That's Sterling with an I, STIRLINGSOAP.com. And we've got a ton of new stuff that we're adding. We're updating the site almost daily now, trying to get new products out for summer. So, and we've also got a Father's Day sale going on right now. And we look forward. I really appreciate you having us on, Andrew. And I look forward to hopefully sometime in the future being able to talk to you again.
Well, thank you so much, Rod. I'm glad you're on the show with us today. If you're looking for the giveaway puck, remember to go on to Twitter. And there's two things that has to be in your tweet. You have to tweet hashtag WSN Sterling, and you also have to include at Sterling Soap. I believe that's the Twitter handle for Sterling, right, Rod?
At Sterling Soap.
At Sterling Soap. Those two things must be in your tweet or else my filter's not going to catch it. And then in a week from Wednesday, 1 week from Wednesday when this podcast posts, your entry will be calculated into a randomizer and one lucky person will get a free jar of iced pineapple courtesy of Rod and Mandy over at Sterling Soap. Rod, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having us, Andrew. You have a great weekend.
Right now, I'm completely exhausted. The Florida summers have a way of taking any energy you have and draining it straight from your body. But I wanted to make sure I record this, even though the clock on my desk says it's 1:30 in the morning on Tuesday. I got a package today, and I just got home from work, and got the chance to see it. And this package contains the puck of soap that Rod sent me for our giveaway, the one we were going to discuss. Let's take a look at what it is. It's a fairly nondescript box, no special packaging on the outside, but I expect that. Anything above and beyond, like the Wet Shave Club boxes, well, if you have the overhead to do that, good for you. Inside the box are some biodegradable packing peanuts. I believe these are the biodegradable ones that they have used in the past. And inside is a green jar. I've never seen a jar quite like this before. It certainly doesn't feel cheap or flimsy. It's a hard, heavy plastic. It's got a good density to it. And inside, if you like pineapple like I do, unfortunately I can't eat it. You'll love this scent. It's a sweeter pineapple. Reminds me of Dole Whips at Disney World. I can eat those because I don't believe those are made with real pineapple. Those are made with a pineapple flavoring. The soap comes all the way up to the top, and it has a very natural poured-in appearance. It's a good heft to the jar, much heavier than the soap that I'm used to receiving from Rod, which comes in a small pressed puck. And the jar is very contrasting. It is very unique, and it does have a very unique color. Screw-on top lid is nice and secure, very tight. And the label, of course, helps bring things out too. Overall, this is a very nice package, and it's a wild departure from black, white, or any of the muted colors that might be less noticeable. It's not a bright green, I'd say. It's probably a natural green, probably a little bit darker than a natural green. But it is classy, and it is a step up. So if you're looking to win this puck of soap, this soap is going to somebody out there who wants to win a puck of Sterling's Iced Pineapple. It's a pineapple scent with a menthol kick. Make sure you tweet hashtag WSN Sterling, and you have to have @SterlingSoap included in the tweet. A week from Wednesday the 17th, I will have a special YouTube filter do a randomized drawing of anybody who has those two combinations in your tweet. This smells really good. I'm not going to lie, I'm actually kind of tempted to go shave with it right now, but I'm going to go get some sleep. I hope you've enjoyed this second episode of the Wet Shaving News Podcast. If you are a vendor and you didn't hear your news listed in the podcast, you can fix that one of two ways. Follow me and I'll follow you on Twitter @WetShavingNews, or send me an email, wetshavingnews@gmail.com, and I'll make sure that I get your news added into the show. The show is produced by myself and hosted by Sharpologist.com. Sharpologist.com, everything your father didn't teach you about wet shaving. The products in this episode for giveaway are provided by SterlingSoapCompany.com. Sterling Soap Small Batch Shave Soap. Visit their website at SterlingSoap.com. A special thanks to Rod for coming on the show today. And remember, hashtag WSN Sterling @SterlingSoap. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.